Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to read verses 8 through 11 together this morning as we consider the Sabbath. The Sabbath. And there's been a great deal of controversy over the centuries regarding the Sabbath. And I trust and pray that as we study this passage, and we'll probably take two services to be able to do that, because I want us to see exactly what the Bible says about the Sabbath, and hopefully we can clear up some things, help us to understand some things regarding the Sabbath and what the Bible has to say about the whole subject, not just taking it in pieces and parts, but the whole subject of the Sabbath. Beginning at verse 8 of Exodus 20, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Another translation of hallowed is separated it. He separated it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray, dear Lord, that you might bless in the preaching of your word today. Father, we want to rightly divide the word of truth. We want to have an understanding of the testimony of your word. And we ask, dear Father, that you might give us ears to hear, that we might give our full attention to your precious word this morning as we consider the subject of the Sabbath. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Sabbath is a subject of great controversy. There are all kinds of teachings in regard to the Sabbath. There are still groups that worship on Saturday, thinking that they should be doing so, following the Old Testament. There are some groups that call Sunday the Christian Sabbath. And we're going to look at the subject of the Sabbath day today and, Lord willing, next Sunday. And I hope and pray that you'll just let the Word of God speak for itself. I don't want to interject my opinion. I don't want you to interject your opinion, because what happens is we start following our opinions rather than the Word of God, and that puts us on rocky soil. Puts us on rocky soil when we start following our own ideas or what we think or what we were taught when we were growing up. You know, folks, we were taught a lot of things growing up. Some of them were good. Some things were bad. I have to deal with some of the bad stuff on a daily basis out at the ballpark, some of the things that they were taught when they were growing up. Some young people were taught to misbehave and to be disrespectful toward umpires. And then they become coaches, and then they think they can do the same things. They have to deal with that. Just because you learned it when you were little doesn't mean it's right. How do I know it's right? If it's in line with this book. This is our guidepost. This is the standard right here. And you know, sometimes it goes contrary to traditions that we have. Well, what do you throw out? Do you throw the tradition out, or you throw the Bible out? Or do you try to do what we do in society today and meld the two? That seems to be the common thing today. We like to meld God's Word with our belief system, and we somehow try to fit them together. And you know what it looks like? It looks like a second grade carpentry project, all right? Now, no offense against second graders, but you know, I was a second grader once, and I built a boat. I built a boat in the second grade. It was my first time getting to use a handsaw. Dad was real careful about that. He didn't let us use that. We got in second grade, he said, "All right, you can use my handsaw." And I went out there, and I took a board, and I took my ruler, and I drew on there a bottom of a boat. I had a point on the front, and I had the back of it kind of curved a little bit. And I went out there and I cut that board up, jagged as all get out, trying to cut along the straight line. And then I got an old hand drill, and I drilled a hole in the middle, and I stuck a dowel in there, and I put a cloth sail on there, and that was my boat. Now, it wouldn't float. I tried. Okay? I tried. I had all that stuff. I'd put little things on top of that boat, which caused it to tilt. And so it would tilt, and it would slide down under the water. Okay, now I tried. All right, it wasn't a very good boat, but I loved it. I painted that thing up. I had painted side rails and all kinds of stuff on my boat. Now, that wasn't true carpentry. I don't put that on a resume. When I got out of college, I built a boat in second grade. You know? What? You built a boat in second? Yeah, I built a boat in second grade. You know, some people, bless their hearts. You can do that in the South when you say bless their hearts. You know? It just covers everything up and makes everything. But, you know, some people, bless their heart, they'll do something and they think that they've become a master at it. You do it one time and you become a master. I find out real quick, when I try to do carpentry type stuff, I'm not a master at it. Sometimes I just do it because I want to save money. You know, I don't want to pay somebody else to do it. So I'll do it myself. And it looks like it when I get done. And I'll have to come have somebody come back up there and try it over again, you know, or fix it or give some advice in that regard. And that's how we kind of approach the Bible. We just kind of approach it and I think I'll do it this way. This is the way I was taught when I was growing up, and I kind of happen to like that. And I know it doesn't go. So let's try to figure out a way to mesh it together here so I can still call myself a Bible believer. I can still call myself a true fundamentalist. I believe the Bible, except in a few areas, you know, where I've got my own opinions about. The Sabbath is one of those subjects. It's a mishmash of all kinds of thinking and ideas, and what we just need to do is let the Bible speak. Just let it tell us, rather than trying to come up with our own ideas. Now, I want you to understand at the very beginning here that there are many Sabbaths in the Hebrew calendar. We have a tendency to think that Sabbath is Saturday. But did you know that there were many Sabbaths that weren't on Saturday? As a matter of fact, as you read your Bible, you will notice that Saturday is never mentioned in the Bible. It's not mentioned. It says the seventh day. So we assume, okay, Julian calendar, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday is the seventh day. There were a lot of Sabbaths that weren't on Saturday because they went by what? They went by the position of the moon. That's why Passover was celebrated at a different time every year. They went by the position of the moon. And do you know that in Passion Week of Jesus Christ that Sabbath was on a Thursday? It was on a Thursday. It wasn't on a Saturday. So when you understand and know what it's talking about, that's why the Bible, God knew what He was doing ahead of time. That's why He said He rested on the seventh day. He didn't say what day it was. We assume that the first day of creation was what? Sunday. I don't know that. Do you? I don't have anywhere in the Bible that says the first day of creation was Sunday. Now, this is what I'm talking about being a Biblicist. If we're going to be a Biblicist, we have to see what the Bible says. On the first day, He created this. The first day. It doesn't say on Sunday, He created this. Now, if you'll keep that mindset, it will help you not to be latched in on Saturday. It will help you. It'll give you some understanding. All right? Isn't it interesting that the church met on the first day of the week? It doesn't say Sunday. We assume that. But the New Testament said they met on the first day of the week. We assume Sunday on that. And that's the day that we meet on. Because in that particular time, they used the Roman calendar, the Julian calendar that was in place. And so we've got something to go by. But we don't have anything to go by in regard to the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's go on. I want to share some thoughts with you in this regard. There were many Sabbaths on the Jewish calendar, in addition to the 52 Sabbaths, or we would call them Saturdays, the meet on the seventh day of the week, all right, that special day. There were Sabbaths of Passover, unleavened bread, which did not happen to fall on a Saturday. Leviticus 23:5-8 tells us that. The Passover always fell on the 14th day of Abib, Leviticus 23:5. So it varied every year. Might be on a Thursday, might be on a Monday. Might be on a Sunday. It didn't always fall. It was always on the 14th day. So that's something that's very important to remember. Now listen to Matthew 5 and verse 19. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments. Now the Lord has talked about the Ten Commandments there. Whoever then annuls one of these least of the commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus Christ spoke, the Sabbath was still in effect. Okay? Matthew 5:19, whoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. So in Christ's time, the Sabbath was still in effect. Everybody understand that? All right, now, we learn in Hebrews chapter 4 that there is a Sabbath still yet future. You read those chapters 4 and 5, it talks about, repeats the word rest over and over again. And in the Greek, it has the word for Sabbath. Okay? Has the word for Sabbath. There is a rest yet future. I'm telling you something, folks. I'm looking forward to that Sabbath. Okay? I'm looking forward to that Sabbath. And by the way, it's interesting. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, the Bible says that the Sabbath was made for man. Mankind. Doesn't say the Sabbath was made for Jew only. It's interesting, that word in the Greek is the word mankind, humans. Sabbath was made for that. We should be worshiping on. No. You have to understand the context of how Sabbath is used. What did the Pharisees do? They had just come and they attacked the disciples. They had done something on the Sabbath day. They ate some corn. They went into the field and they plucked some corn on the Sabbath day, and there was the Pharisees, the Sabbath police. Okay? There they were. They had their official robes on. What are you doing? What are you doing? This is the Sabbath day. You're plucking corn on the Sabbath day. And what did Jesus say to them? Have you not heard what David did when his men were tired after the battle, and how they went to the tabernacle, and how they asked the priest for bread, and they brought out, oh no, they brought out the bread from the table of showbread. And they did eat, and not only his men, but they spread it abroad for everyone to eat. Now, did fire and lightning come out of heaven because he ate the showbread, which was for the priest only? No. Tells us something about the Sabbath. Tells us something about the spirit of the Sabbath. What did God do on the seventh day? It's interesting that in this particular context here, in our reading here in Exodus chapter 20, that he ties the creation, brings the creation in to what he's talking about in regard to the Sabbath. Notice this, please, in chapter 20. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and separated it. In other words, he did not work. He did not create. There was no creative genius on the seventh day. He spoke the worlds into existence. He spoke light and darkness and the trees and the living creatures. He made man. And on the seventh day, he what? Rested. And he tells the Israelites on the seventh day, I want you to separate it from the other days of the week. I want you to rest. It was an enforced rest day. Do you know what our understanding of the Sabbath comes from? It comes from the Pharisees. The Pharisees developed a whole system of rules and traditions and so forth around the Sabbath day that God never intended. They even had measuring distances about how far you could walk on the Sabbath day and it not be labor. Obviously, plucking corn was labor for the Pharisee. And they were angry and upset that his men would be out there and they were just getting something to eat. It was basically an enforced rest day. It was for man's well-being. He was looking after the well-being of the Hebrews when he gave that. Let's not read more into the Sabbath than what God tells us. Because what we have done today, and by the way, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Anglicans refer to Sunday as the Christian what? the Christian Sabbath, and the Sabbath has nothing to do with the church. Has nothing to do with the church. We have tried to meld two systems, try to put them together, and they don't have anything to do with each other. And we're going to get into that as we look at what the Bible has to say. One day of rest each week is requisite for man's physical, mental, and spiritual good. God knew that man should not be working 7 days a week. He said, I want you to work 6 days, and I want you to take one day. I don't want you to be laboring. I don't want you to go out in the fields. I don't want the cattle out in the field plowing 7 days a week. I want you to take a day and rest. All right? You can do stuff around the house. There was nothing that said that they couldn't sweep their floor. As a matter of fact, it was not a worship day. Now, some may take offense to that, but I have looked all through the Old Testament, and it doesn't say anything about worship. It said you're supposed to rest in your homes. So we don't even do that right. Seventh-day Adventists got that right. That's their worship day. They don't have that right. It wasn't intended. They were supposed to stay in their homes. And where do they go? They leave their homes and they go to another place. You know what they're following? The Pharisees. Synagogues. That was a whole makeup that was made up by the religious leaders that had nothing to do with Exodus chapter 20 and the giving of the law. And what we've done today is we've pulled in ideas and opinions and so forth, and we don't know what God said about the Sabbath. He wanted His people to rest. He didn't want them out there in the market. He didn't want them out there working, laboring out in the field 7 days a week. He was not only concerned about their health, but also the earth's health. You know, you may take this the wrong way, but God's an environmentalist, but not in the way that the world does environmentalism. God told him, He sent him into 70 years of captivity. You know where that 70 came from? Because they had done away, over 490 years, they had done away with the year of Jubilee. They instead of giving the seventh year rests, where they didn't plant anything on the seventh year, they said, hey, we can use that year to make money. We can sell these crops, and there's no reason for this ground to lie fallow. There's no reason for the land to rest. We've got good fertilization principles now. We know what we can do here, and there's no reason. So they did it. They did it over a period of 490 years and said, God said, I'm going to give the land 70 years of rest. You're going to go to Babylon. That's what God was concerned about. It wasn't that they hadn't worshiped. It was that they disobeyed God. He had promised the land every seventh year a year off from growing things. And He sent them into captivity, and that land got 70 years of rest. It got its Sabbath. Are you understanding the principle? Are you starting to see what God had in mind in regard to the children of Israel? This was what He had in mind for the children. It was for their rest and health, and it was for the land's rest and health. Period. I don't see anything else here. When it's repeated in Deuteronomy, it repeats this word for word. Nothing added to it. Except when the Pharisees got a hold of it. And the Pharisees got a hold of it, and they made it into this whole network of all kinds of traditions and things, and they have been passed down to the church. And we're dealing with a tangle of all kinds of ideas and so forth like that, and we're trying to apply the Sabbath to Sunday, and they're completely different. Completely different. Principle, not even close. And we need to understand that. All right? Now, here's where I need your undivided attention. There are several things from this passage and other passages we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks. And I hope that you'll grab these from our understanding of Exodus 28 through 11. Number one, man should work. Man should work 6 days. All right? Man should work. He should labor. The same rule is plainly enforced in the New Testament. It says, and study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you. So we are to work. We're not to be a lazy society. We're not to be a slovenly geared people where we just sit back. You know, the work week has been cut back in some European nations now to 3 days a week. Okay? Now, some people say, I'm for that. I'm for that, 3 days a week, you know. But we are to labor with our hands. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if ye would not work, neither should he eat. So, and by the way, working with your hands, labor, was something that was in effect before the fall. That's a virtue. Working is a virtue. But I want you to know this. Rest is a virtue because rest was given before the fall. Understand that in creation. Labor is a virtue. On the seventh day, rest is a virtue. You know what? I think a lot of our medical problems that we have today, seems like there's a proliferation of medical issues today, is because we don't rest. We're going all the time. If we were to take this congregation and go back 200 years, all right, Mr. O'Pager would have a white powdered wig on, okay, and Mrs. O'Pager would be dressed up in a nice big flower dress, big hoop, sitting on the opposite side of Mr. O'Pager, because the men and the ladies didn't mix back in those days. They didn't do the kind of stuff we're doing. When it got dark, that was it. Everybody went to bed. Okay? You didn't stay up till midnight. Only the hoodlums were out at those hours. Okay? You got up early in the morning and you went about your labors. And they took naps in the afternoon. That's one thing where Mexico has got us. And even European countries, they close up shop in the afternoon. The only problem is they keep things going till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't think that's what God intended. But you know what? It's all right to rest. We don't have to be going 24/7. Just because your cell phone's on 24/7 and you've got internet access 24/7 and the power company's generating power 24/7 doesn't mean that you've got to be 24/7. You burn the candle at both ends, you pay the consequence, and that's what we're paying for today. We are a society that is burning the candle at both ends, and we're laboring 7 days a week, no rest. And now we paid for it. We pay for it with health issues. We pay for it with all kinds of other mental health issues. I was talking to a lady who teaches in the public school. She's involved in teaching, but also she does working with young people and dealing with them as whether they're their ADD or ADHD or whatever the terms that they use for young people. She said, it's just amazing to me we have such a proliferation of all kinds of problems. She said, we never had that when I first started my teaching career. What do you think's happened, Mr. Brainerd? Ooh, what an opportunity. Yeah. I gave her a whole laundry list of what's going on today. We don't follow God's understanding of the Bible. Now, we ought to rest. We ought to rest. Your body cannot keep going 7 days a week with no rest. We put such a premium on the labor that we forget that the Lord rested on the seventh day. So we think we got to labor. If you're not busy, then you're lazy. No. No. You see, the Sabbath was practical. This is what I love about this, as I've studied this. The Sabbath was practical. It was for the benefit of His people and the benefit of the cattle. It was for the benefit for the land that it might have rest. Has nothing to do with Sunday. Has nothing to do with Saturday. It has everything to do with taking time to rest so that this physical body, which is already challenged by the curse of sin, might have some rest. And that the cattle in those days, now cattle today have nothing but rest, okay? They go out, they open the barn door, and they go out and eat all day long, and they come back in, and that's it, until the guy comes to take them to the slaughterhouse. Then that's the end of rest for them. But God was concerned about the animals. Notice in this passage, this is one of the things that struck me here about the purpose of Sabbath. It was an enforced idleness. All right? Thou shalt nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant. He was concerned about the servants getting overworked. He was concerned about the cattle and, notice, and the stranger that is within thy gates. He was concerned about their physical well-being, all concerned with the Sabbath. You don't see anything in there about worship. You don't see anything about relationship to Sunday and worship services. They're not connected. Let's let the Bible speak for itself. Now, number two, and we're going to close with this one. We should note that the Sabbath day is never here or anywhere in the Bible termed the seventh day of the calendar week. Never. Okay? As far as the Old Testament was concerned, any day of the week which was used for rest and which was followed by 6 days of work was a Sabbath. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, on the seventh day labor. Where did Saturday Sabbath come from? It came from the Pharisees. It came from the religious system that grew up during the 400 years of silence, where there was no revelation between Malachi and Matthew. All of a sudden, we come into the New Testament, and it's Sabbath Saturday, and there's all kinds of rules about it. Where did they come from? It came during that 400 years of silence. Instead of following the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, we're not hearing anything from heaven. No more scriptures being written. Oh, so let's make up a whole bunch of new things to apply and to be there. Understand, please, the concept of a Christian Sabbath comes from the Pharisees. It doesn't come from the Bible. Now, you need to study this on your own. I encourage you. Get your concordance out. Look, I went through, I used an online resource, I went through my concordance, and I could not find anywhere in the Bible where it said that Sabbath was Saturday. 6 days shalt thou labor. And the seventh day, after you've labored for 6 days, you rest today. That's what the Bible says. But the religionists took it, and they made it into a whole tradition. That's what religionists do. And that's what can happen to us. We get these religious concepts in our mind, and that we bow down to these religious concepts rather than let the Bible speak. What does the Bible say? The Saturday concept came from the Pharisees. It did not come from the Old Testament. It did not come from the law. So you got to think that way. You got to think that way in your brain. Now, it is not correct to say that the Sabbath can only mean Saturday. I challenge you on this. There's not one word of Scripture to support that Saturday is the Sabbath of creation. It is an assumption. I can see brains working right now. Oh boy, I don't think I can take this. Woo, he's getting off in an area. Whoa, wait. We talk about being literalists, talk about being biblicists. It's time to shed all the religion and just let the Bible speak. Every time it's repeated, it says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and on the seventh day rest. It doesn't say what day of the week. It doesn't say it's Saturday. And the religionists were the ones that set up the calendar. The religionists were the ones that developed all the rules of the Sabbath and what you can do and what you can't do. And as you go into the details in Leviticus, you find out that the Sabbath day was to be the gathering of the family in the home. And together, they were to rest. And that was it. They were to rest from their labors of the week. I encourage you, get into your Bible. I want you to check me out on this, all right? I want you to do that. I don't want you to read it. Don't bring me a Wikipedia article. You haven't heard yet? Wikipedia is not trustworthy. Yeah, bring me a Wikipedia article on the Sabbath. They got a mishmash of all kinds of stuff. I already checked it, by the way. They got a mishmash of all kinds of ideas and concepts. And you know, we are living with the consequences of religionists today. We've got Seventh-day Adventism. We've got Methodism. We've got Presbyterianism. We've got Anglicanism, all that call it the Christian Sabbath. By the way, the Sabbath was never changed to Sunday. Never. The Sabbath was not converted to Sunday. You cannot find one shred of evidence in the Bible. I challenge you on that one too. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Find it. It says that the church met on the first day of the week. It doesn't say the Sabbath became what the Christians do on Sunday. Do you know what? It's interesting when you study this. The Jews were so angry with the Apostle Paul. They were angry. They tried to kill him. They tried to stone him to death. They chased him out of every town they could get him out of. You know why? Because he didn't worship on the Sabbath. He was going against their Judaistic principles and their religionist principles of the Pharisees, and they didn't like it. And so they went after him, after him, after. You're tearing down our religious belief system. That's what grace does. That's what grace does. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. The grace of God is like a hammer. It breaks apart your religion till you have nothing left but the bits and pieces, and then all you have left to trust in is Jesus Christ alone. But we love religion. We drag it around with us, religious ideas and principles. We don't do that. Oh, no, we don't do that because of the Sabbath. What you're doing is you're dragging around the Pharisees' principles, and you don't even know it because we haven't studied our Bibles well enough to know it. We just take what we've heard. We take what somebody else does. Oh, I learned that whenever I was a kid. No, 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 no. We must get into the Word of God. And I challenge you on this. This has been a wake-up call to me. If I'm going to call myself a fundamentalist, I'm going to call myself a biblicist, if I'm going to call myself a literalist, why would we say that it's not literal? Whenever Mark 2:27 says that the Sabbath was created for mankind and there's no mention of Jew in there, I take it literally. God established rest for mankind for His health and well-being. Period. Okay? And He did that for the children of Israel. Should we still rest? Yes. We should rest because God rested. And there is a rest to come. Praise God. There is a rest to come. The Sabbath of eternity to be spent with our Lord, where we will rest in Him. No more concern about the fleshly things that we concern ourselves with. We'll only be concerned with Him and bringing glory and honor without all the entrapments of religion, all the entrapments of what we've got gathered around us. We'll be able to worship Him for all eternity and rest in Him. That Sabbath was secured in Jesus Christ, and it's a glorious rest that awaits us. But it's all right physically right now for you to rest. It's okay. Take a vacation. It's all right to rest during the week. But it's not something, as we're going to study next time, the law has been done away with. It's been abolished in Jesus Christ. We don't keep the law for salvation. And there are religious groups all across America that met yesterday thinking they were pleasing God. They're preserving their salvation by meeting on Saturday. No. Jesus Christ preserves our salvation in Him. He preserves, not meeting on a certain day of the week. We'll pick up with this, Lord willing, at another time. Father in heaven, we pray that You'd use Your Word to touch our hearts. So, Father, so many times we're so careless. We believe certain things about the Bible that just aren't there. We've just determined that that's the way it is, and we're going to stick with that, but we've been challenged this morning from the Word of God. The virtue of work and the virtue of rest was laid out for the children of Israel, that the land might have rest, that the animals might have rest, that the maidservants and the manservants might have rest, and that the children of Israel might have rest from their labors so as not to wear themselves out trying to make money, trying to get ahead, but learning to rest securely in Thee. And that's all that it was there for. Now, Father, I pray that You would shake us of our religious notions. Lord, that's the wood, hay, and stubble that's going to be burned up when we get to heaven. All our religious notions. Help us, Father, to be biblicists, to take it from the Word and not add to it or diminish from it. But we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.